The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
This morning, our scripture text is going to come from the book of Mark, chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 21. I'll be using the New King James translation. I'll give you a few minutes. Actually, not 1 minute. Very good. The word reads, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My daughter, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians." Anybody know what I'm talking about? "And she had spent all that she had and was no better." I know I got some people out there know what I'm talking about. He said, "But rather, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus," hallelujah, glory, "she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" Verse 29, this is what I like about this. He says, "Immediately." Oh, yeah. How many of y'all know that God can do things immediately? Yeah. "Immediately, the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." Watch this. "And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, he's worthy. I just want to get myself deeper into worship mode. I'm going to sing a few verses of this song. I just want y'all to help me. "I need thee, all I need. Every hour I need thee. Me now, my Savior, I come. My Lord, I come to you. To thee." One more time. "The all." Oh, yeah. "Every hour I need." Yeah. "Oh, bless me now, my
my Savior, I come to thee.
Thank you, thank you. Woo. Woo, goodness. Ain't no harm to worship him every now and then. Get in the spirit. God bless you all this morning. I just wanted to tell you all, first of all, thanks for having prayed for me during the time of my illness, my sickness. And Lord knows I still struggle. And there are unexpected moments where I don't feel as well as I want to feel. But I turned to the Lord and said, I need thee. And he is faithful and true. And the Lord always working it out for us. To my pastor, Charles King, giving the Lord all honor, all praise and glory for what he is working here even today. Because I suddenly, one day I had a heart attack. No warning, felt good, nothing. And then boom. So you can be here today and you can really be gone today. But that's not my testimony this morning. My testimony to you, dear saints, is that you just can't quit. The circumstances and situations of life today, they seem to want to dictate where we are, even with God. But don't quit. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for he who you have faith in. And these trying hours and these trying times. And you know what? Pray for the president. Pray for him. Seriously, pray for him. Pray for our leaders, our authorities. It's biblical. Lord said, you pray for him. Pastor tells us all the time, pray for your enemies. If he's your enemy, pray for him. But we need to stay in the spirit. We need to stay biblical about the things that are happening in the world. Amen. Because I'm telling you, the wolves will come. And they pressure, they come up against us all the time. And they try to change our way of thinking and change our structure. They dominate our children's minds a lot with all the things that they feel. We're up against the world. But I want to tell you that we serve a mighty God. I want to use for a subject today that Jesus does things suddenly, immediately, and straightway. I chose the acronym SIS for that, but I wanted to focus in on the sisters that's in the text. So that is, SIS is a short form of the word sisters. In these days and times, a lot of things are pending. A lot of things are said probably against women. And it seems like for all of time, it's been an issue with where the women are. Where is the women's ministry here at this church now? Last week, Pastor said, that was then and this is now. Let me look at the scripture text. Let's go back almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus, in the book of Mark, is painted as the Messiah. And he is the Messiah. He is the incarnate Word. And he is the second person in the Trinity. He has been given all power, even over death. He was at the beginning of creation. And the Bible said there was nothing made that was made without him. Therefore, he is not limited. I need to tell somebody that this morning. God is not limited. We pick up in the text as Jesus and his disciples are disembarking on the Jewish side of the lake. The Bible records that they had, in fact, crossed over again. If we were to use the term crossing over, we use it today to signify when death is certain, don't we? We say they're about to cross over, or he or she is crossing over. Someone asked a question many years ago. As a matter of fact, it was Nicodemus. He said, if a man dies, can he live again? And Jesus replied, yes, but you must be born again. I ask you, man or woman, today, are you born again? In this world, in order to experience the full joy of Christian living, he or she must be born again. He or she must be knocked down a few times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In order to understand what the term rejoice really means. We call these kind of things experiences. When you have accepted Jesus in your life, they become known as Christian experiences. And I don't know about you, but I have experienced the power of God. Have you experienced the power of God? See, I'm not standing here telling you what I know about somebody. I'm telling you what I know about me. I have experienced the power of God. How have I experienced the power of God? Well, the doctor, the surgeon told me that my heart, the right side of my heart, had a 100% blockage in it. And he said, most of the time it's killing the people that have these type of blockages don't live. But God. But God, I know the power of God. I know that it was he who was keeping me all the while. God does things suddenly, immediately, and straightway. Watch God. But suddenly there arose a great storm on the lake. But Jesus put it out. Suddenly, looking around, they saw no one with them anymore. Except Jesus only. He will be with you when your friends are few. Suddenly there came from the sky a sound like a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. God knows where you are sitting. But the question becomes, where do you stand with him? Where do you stand with God? What is your position on today? Do you know that he can do things immediately? God doesn't conform to the laws of time or to gravity. He is not restricted. He is not limited like we are. He does things immediately. And I know I'm talking to someone, because someone out there who is thinking that their sickness, their trials, their pains, whatever it is that you are under the influence of, I'm going to tell you that our God is mighty and he can do it immediately. If you just only believe, God can do it immediately. Somebody shout immediately. Help me out this morning. Immediately. When Peter and Andrew received the invitation of Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible records that they straightway followed him. They didn't waste no time, Pastor. They straightway followed him. What is your position with God? When you receive the call from him, do you straightway go and respond, or did you continue on to your own little missions in life? How do you respond to God? I'm looking at you right now, and I really want to know. How do you respond? Because I'm saying don't wait. The response is immediately. Now, having said these things, we're ready to talk about the sisters in the text. Now, I told you earlier that I used that word, the term, the acronym SIS, purposely so that I can focus in on the sisters in the text. We call them sisters because they have been raised by the mighty hand of Jesus, just like we have. Yes, you've been raised from death to life. Did you know that? The Bible said if you are crucified with him, then you go down in the grave with him, and behold, you are resurrected with him. That's what the word says. So we are all sisters and brothers in Christ. And we really need to start treating each other like sisters and brothers in Christ, don't we? Amen, amen. The Bible says that the woman in this text is identified as a certain woman. And we have learned that when the Bible uses the term a certain man or a certain woman, thank you, Pastor, it can also mean you and I. You could put yourself in the place of this woman in the text. As a matter of fact, if you really honestly want to get anything done, sometimes you have to assume the character of these people that Jesus healed. Sometimes you have to say, I am the woman with the issue of blood. And I am the man with a withered hand. I am the demon-possessed man that Jesus drove out the demons from his body. Amen. Sometimes you have to assume the character of those people and talking to God. I am like him, Lord. I need you just like they needed you. That was then, but this is now. I need you now. It is a noun type of faith. Even the word noun suggests suddenly, immediately, and straightway. We need a noun type of faith. Do you have a noun type of faith? Or you say, I'll just put it off later. I'll go to you later, Lord, on my concerns. Or do you go to him now with your faith, believing that it will happen? You have to deal with God on God's terms. You deal with life on life terms. So why don't you deal with God, the Spirit, on God's terms? He don't understand our means and method and our fears and disbeliefs. And he wants to help you with that. That's why we have the biblical text that is helping us today. A certain woman. And it says that Jesus is being thronged by the crowd. And it was pressing hard against him. Bumping up against my Lord. But let me just say to you right here and right now, it is one thing to bump up against Jesus, but it's a whole nother thing to touch him. A bump is not a touch. We spend our time bumping and we say, well, if I bump into my sister at the supermarket, I'll speak to her then. You won't call her on the phone and say, how you doing, or I'm praying for you. Even to some of our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, we want to, by happen chance, bump into them somewhere. And we think that that's okay. But it's not. Many people, look at the text. Many people were bumping up against Jesus. I'm sure that they had many concerns. Why were they there? Why did they press hard against Jesus? Why was a crowd, why was a multitude following him? You know that they obviously wanted something. Am I right about it? And they bumped up against my Lord. But they didn't have the belief inside of them like this certain woman who had been sick, they said, for 12 long years. One interesting thing that I've seen in the text, if I could digress just a little bit, is that the woman had an issue of blood for 12 long years, and a little girl at Jairus' house, Jairus' daughter, was 12 years old. I said, these are things that only God can do. Only God can position things that way. During the year that the woman started the flow of blood, this little girl was born. And so both of them grew before the Lord in certain words and certain terms. This certain woman was a Jewish woman. I told you that they had crossed to the Jewish side of the lake. You got to read the Bible text. You got to read the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Topographical studies will help you as well. But one thing that was going on was that Jesus had crossed over to the Gentile side. Remember, as they were going, the storm came up. And the Lord calmed the sea. But you know what? They didn't turn around because there was a storm. Jesus continued on because there was a Gentile man who needed him, who had a legion of demons in his body. This is real, y'all. This is real. He had a legion. I think a Roman legion was 660 soldiers strong. He had 660 demons in his body. But the Lord crossed over to the Gentile side, healed him, and recrossed. That term recrossed that appears right at the beginning of verse 21 is significant to us because Jesus will revisit you and your issues. He just don't put you off. Don't the Lord come? He comes back for you. And he said, you were saying, what was that? What was your problem? Your issue was? And he waits patiently on you to increase your faith. See, a lot of things are not getting done in our lives because we have little faith. It must be smaller than a mustard seed. But nevertheless, we look at how Jesus recrossed and came back for the church, his elect people, the Jewish people. He didn't forget about the Jewish people. This woman who had the issue of blood had been really exorcised from the church. She had been put out, excommunicated, because she was considered unclean. She couldn't go to church. She was put out in the marketplace. Every time that she came around, someone had to make a note about a woman or an unclean person being in their presence. Imagine having to suffer these things for 12 long years. They said that she paid many physicians for 12 long years. She emptied out a lot of money. Her purse was being emptied out. And she didn't get better. She got worse. In our sicknesses today, whatever your ailment might be, if it's not getting better, it seems that we start to move away from God. And we start to depend more heavily on medicine. That's right. And it seems like it's like a vicious cycle of the Lord didn't heal me, so I'll go back. I'll go to another doctor. I'll get another surgery. You know, it's just things that go on. And we could talk about our relations that way. We could talk about our social form. We could talk about our finances that way. When it seems that God don't move on your behalf like you want him to move. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. It's how you want him to move. But you ought to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And let the Lord use you and let your stuff be moved aside. I thought about last week when you were preaching, Pastor, on how they were throwing stuff overboard and how we looked in the book of Jonah, how they done the same thing. And they, as a matter of fact, they threw him overboard. Well, we know that the large fish came and got him and spooed him up on the seashore. But it's interesting how we carry this stuff. That's right. We bring it into the church. I'm sure people had, in that day and time, brought it into the synagogue. But what's so interesting to me, and this is stuff that only God can do in the scripture. The Bible is so literally sound. It's such a good read. I should get more amens. Are y'all reading your Bible? But listen, the same leader of the synagogue, he wasn't a high priest, but he was in charge of the services, the administration, who came through the door, who did not come through the door, make sure everything was in order, make sure the carpet was clean, you know, the drapes were dusted. This was his job. You know, also the same man who was excommunicating this woman had to come see Jesus. And it seemed like simultaneously they both arrived at the same point. And I looked at, y'all know I have an analytical mind. It was like, how in the world does God position two people like that to be pressed together with Jesus at the same time with two different motives? She realizing her position said to herself, I'm probably not going to be able to get the Lord to turn around and touch me. But I've seen him work. She said, I've seen him work in others. And I want him to work in me. There was evidence, there was history of my Lord's healing. That's why the great multitude thronged him. They met him right there at the seashore. Jesus didn't have no breathing room because they knew of his miracles and his great works. You need to meet Jesus right there at the seashore, at the lake of your life, at the peninsula of your troubles, and tell him all about what it is that you want him to do. But you have to do it in faith and confidence, believing it is going to happen. Who does that? Do you go to him believing that he's going to heal you? Do you go to him believing that he's going to provide for you? He is God Almighty. He is not limited by anything. I just stopped by to tell you that my God can do things, and he does them suddenly, immediately, and straightway. I looked at the three words. They are so similar. But one point that suddenly had on it was the fact that it comes without warning. When things happen suddenly, they come without warning. You can immediately go somewhere, knowing what you're going to do, know all the conditions. But when things happen suddenly, you are unaware. Things can take you unaware, can't they? I know y'all know what I'm talking about. We said it's always something. If it ain't one thing, it's another. It's just constant things that take you suddenly. But God knows all about them. And he can handle them if you let him. God, the limitless God, can do things suddenly, immediately, and straightway. Immediately, it says that the flow stopped. She and the little girl were dependent upon the touch and the miracle power of Jesus, as all of us are, but they done something about it. The father went to Jesus. He identified the problem, and as a matter of fact, you read the text, Jesus was on his way to solve it. But here's what happened. He said, as the Bible says that as he was talking and saying these things to the woman, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the rulers of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? The next words in verse 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word. Anybody with me? He said, as soon as he heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. What are you fearing this morning? Do not be afraid, but only believe. And that's what I say to you this morning. Don't be afraid. As Jesus is going to the house to see the little girl. And as he's traveling, I want you to picture this. The invitation that she couldn't come to him, but my Lord went to her. She was on her deathbed. And as a matter of fact, now she is dead. But Jesus didn't stop going. He kept on working through the issue because my Lord knew that he was going to do something in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. He was the second person in the Trinity, and he had the power of God with him. That was then, and this is now. God still has power, doesn't he? So why don't you come? While Jesus is on the way to the little girl's house, you come. The doors of the church are open. You come, give God your hand this morning. God bless you. God does things.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.